I'm speaking today with Glenn Miller, who, as a legendary octavist, can take a vocal bass part down to what sounds like the very depths of the earth. He's also one of several octavists holding down the fort in a new men's choir recording of Rachmaninoff's All Night Vigil. So, Glenn, can I just tell you how thrilled I am to have you here to be able to learn a little bit about you and your thoughts on the All Night Vigil? Welcome.
Well, so glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm an octavist, and I kind of sing off the staff down in the depths, and this Petram recording of the Rachmaninoff Vespers, really, it's a really a great recording, I think. And it's I'm you know I've at being an octavist, I've done the Rachmaninoff Vespers in the SATB version, the original version, countless times, and I recorded it a lot of times. But this project was really unique and special, in that it was adapted for an all men's chorus. I think there was 52 of us that gathered in Jerusalem to record it in the summer of 2022. And then there were singers from all over the world. We had singers from Moscow and Kyiv and Serbia and England and Canada and US and Australia, and I think that kind of covers it. But there were a total out of the 52, there were a total of eight octavists, so that was pretty formidable. It was pretty massive, and you can hear it on the recording. It's just such a rich sound, and so it was really, and to record it in Jerusalem, that really, I can't imagine any the higher, more incredible place to do such a deeply spiritual work.
Since it is adapted for men's choir as opposed to the SATB, do you feel like that gives it a little bit of a different flavor, or does it overall preserve the original pretty well?
Yeah, it does. There's a unique richness about it. There's a spaciousness about it, which I think, there's great recordings of the SATB version, of course, but there's the gravity of it, kind of being weighted at the low end. But we had very high countertenors involved with it too, and they go way up into the in trouble, into their range. And so, but it's a unique color too, the richness of men's voices. It's just kind of thrilling. It kind of gives it a different flavor. Of course, a number of the movements were transposed to a lower keys, and of course they had to be adapted to cover, the soprano and alto parts, so that the counterpoint is all there and all that type of thing. And so some of the keys were lowered. They did the Benedict Sheehan did a lot of the arranging, most of the arranging. And they were really sensitive, I think, to the relationship key wise between each of the movements. So the whole work feels is cohesive and flows really well. But there's a certain spaciousness. The conductor, Ekaterina Antonenko, who is just I just we all loved her. It was just great. But musically, she really understood the need for spaciousness and the pacing of it, and when to kind of stretch things and when not to, and when to let things settle. So yeah, it's pretty wonderful, I think.
When we're approaching this from a listener's perspective, are there any theological or liturgical elements that we should be aware of to help us understand and appreciate the vigil better?
Yes, I think. Well, I've sung this work for, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, like at least 30 years now, and but it wasn't until and very intimate with it, no, really cold, but it wasn't until I started singing actual Orthodox liturgies that I really understood the sequence of the movements and how and the various elements. The work is really in two halves. There's the Vespers, which is the first part, which is the first six movements, and then the remaining, there's 15, so the remaining nine are the Matins liturgy. The Vespers is the evening liturgy of the Orthodox Church, and the Matins is the morning liturgy when the sun rises. So to understand how the sequence of all the texts that are involved through the experience of the liturgy certainly illuminates the whole experience. You don't have to be Orthodox to appreciate it, but just to, it's not random selection of various texts. And of course, some of the texts are in all the liturgies. There are texts that are consistent and never change, and then there are texts which are appropriate to whatever the holiday or holy day that it's that's being commemorated. And in the Rachmaninoff's works, we've got kind of the focus on the resurrection. So yeah, it does help. It illuminates it, and that, again, the sequence of the text, particularly, well, you can say about the whole work, but in the Vespers part, the first part, that is about the sun going down and the end of the day and rest and everything. And we get to the fifth movement, which is the Song of Simeon, which is the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. We're kind of going to bed there. And then we have the Ave Maria, the Boga Raditya movement right after that, which is always sung at the end of that liturgy, which is kind of, turning the lights out and entrusting your spirit and your soul to God and Mary and all that type of thing.
I'm amazed by the complexity of it all. And I have this image of Rachmaninoff in my mind, by many accounts, as a solemn type of character, private, maybe keeping his faith to himself in some ways. And yet we see this vigil that's so it's so in-depth, it's so monumental. Does this give us a different window into what his spirituality was like?
He wasn't a particularly religious. My understanding, he wasn't, as an adult, he wasn't a particularly religious man. But of course, the Orthodox faith was part of his upbringing and formation, and very much at his core to his soul. But that's a whole different world too. I my exposure to Orthodoxy, it's kind of different from, certainly different from American Protestantism, in terms of the spiritual elements. But I think too, with Rachmaninoff. In this work, I'm kind of binging right now on his piano works. I just happen to be doing that, and there's such breadth in his creative output, and then you get to this deeply spiritual work, a window into his soul. And also, there's an interesting thing about this piece. It was he composed it shortly before the Russian Revolution, so the storm clouds were gathering in Russia. And to make this kind of statement of faith in the light of the darkness that was coming is kind of pretty, that's really heavy. And there's a significance in that. But also, you in listening to the work, he echoes the church bells in some spots. He, of course, bases it, many of the movements, on traditional Orthodox chants, and expands and develops them. And then he writes his own, which are in the style of the chants. He can't really tell them apart, which is pretty amazing. So it creates a grounding in the tradition in an even more significant way, but also builds on that through what he creates in terms of melodies and I'm reflecting those traditional chants. So yeah, it's a lot there.
Of the many movements there are, did you say there were 15 total?
Yeah, there's 15.
Was there one, or is there one that you feel like really resonates with you personally?
Oh yeah. Of course, movement five, which is the one that has the famous the tenor solo with the beef, the Song of Simeon with the big descent, the basses get to do down to the low B flat, and they kept that piece in that key because of that. The next movement after that is particularly, it's the most, probably the most famous one, the Ave Maria, the Boga Raditya. But I love movement 14 in particular. It's next to last movement. The last movement, it's a big outburst of joy. But movement 14, it's 13 and 14 aren't big movements. They're like maybe 6 pages long, four, five, 6 pages long, and they follow movement 12, which was one of the biggest movements, and what's the other one that's right on the heels of that? Yeah, 11, 9, 11, and 12 are really big movements, and they're big sings. But moving 14, it just kind of you kind of feel he kind of is summing it up there, and it's concise, but it's like, okay, we've been on this journey, and all's good, and we're coming home. It's the end of the opera in a way, not that it is an opera, but it's there's a wonderful in that movement phrase before the final cadence, the last phrase where the well, in the SAT version, the sopranos have this beautiful soaring line, which of course the countertenors get to do in this version of it, and it just is like, yeah, all is good. And yeah, that movement is particularly a favorite of mine.
And I was also, as I was listening through the vigil, struck by just the beautiful resonance. I'm sure the space you were in helped with that. You mentioned a little bit about, but could you paint the picture of where you were singing this?
Yes, it was. Oh, it was on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, and it was the Church of the Ascension, which is where Jesus ascended. Not of course the building wasn't there, but the whole project that we were in Jerusalem. The man who does the opening is Alex Lukianoff, who is the bass that you hear at the very beginning. Alex Lukianoff is really Mr. Petram, and he's Orthodox. His father was an archbishop or whatever it was, really high up in the church. Alex has been very blessed in his life in business, and so he's dedicated his resources to fostering and recording and performing music of this tradition. And it's not just as a musical statement, but as a spiritual statement for him. So he formed the foundation, Petram, and we've done a number of recordings, but this was the pinnacle. And to do it in Jerusalem was just, the mountaintop that we beyond all of our expectations, because he really wanted us to pull from that deep well of spirituality and faith. We sang liturgies in all the holy places in Bethlehem and Gethsemane and Golgotha and Mount Pisgah and the Church of the Ascension. So to record and to come together as the singers from all around the world, also doing it in Jerusalem. The project wasn't originally supposed to happen in Jerusalem. It was supposed to happen, I think, Serbia at one point, two other places, and they just didn't work out. And then Jerusalem just all kind of fell together, So it was kind of we really think it was providential. It was meant to be. And to come together with singers from around the world and to experience to sing liturgies with them in these holy places, and then when it come time to record, Mount of Olives, it was ground zero. It was just life-changing for all of us, I think. And that contributes to the spaciousness and the depth of the that comes through I think of this recording. But it's a spiritual transport experience, This is it. This is the real thing.
Wow. Yeah. How memorable. Is there anything else for the benefit of our listeners who are just discovering this new recording of the vigil? Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yes, you don't have to be a religious person to kind of get taken up by it. I the first time I recorded this was with the in 1989 with the Robert Shaw recording, which really made a huge mark. It kind of unleashed the dam of doing this piece, and that really kind of got the whole thing going. And so many people have said to me, that have gone into choral music, who aren't really religious, just say how life-changing that was, and just the experience of it, the sound, the music, everything. And I think beauty is beauty, and that's a central thing about Orthodoxy. Beauty is so central to it, because through beauty we get a glimpse of heaven, and heaven is brought to earth, and we pierce that thin place, that separates us from heaven. And so beauty speaks to the heart in ways that, you can't articulate. And I think that certainly comes through on this recording.
I've been speaking with octavist Glenn Miller on his perspectives on Rachmaninoff's All Night Vigil, and I can hear that passion, Glenn. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Well, it's been a great privilege, and I'm just, I'm glad this recording and this whole project is getting heard and lifted up, and for what you're doing and through your station and everything. And there's a lot of interest around the country, around the world, so that we can help fan that flame of enthusiasm and interest, all for it. It's great.